Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, and welcome back to today's Daf. Sanhedrin Lamed Gimel, we are holding on the second line. Dinei Mamonos Machzirun. So back to the Mishnah. When it comes to Dinei Mamonos, even after the verdict was issued, after the Gemara Din, the Bezdin can undo that verdict by, you know, virtue of discovering something new, some new unintended factor which would justify a turning over of that judgment. And it can happen both ways, whether to his detriment or to his benefit, l'schus and l'chayva. However, by dinei nefashos, it could only be undone if it's going to help him, and not in the reverse. In any case, dinei mamonos machzirin, we can undo a verdict by dinei mamonos? Really? Raminu, we have a kasha. Because in the following Mishnah, we're going to find that it's a done deal. Donas ha-din, a judge mistakenly issued a verdict. It was a mistake. Zika, Esachayev, he made the fellow who was really guilty, made him innocent. Okay, we're speaking about financial matters. So he absolved the guilty party. Chiyev Esazakai, he obliged payment for the innocent party. So he switched things around. It was a toast. Or in terms of Tumah and Tahara questions, he mixed things up. Timei Esatoyer, Teir Esatamei. Something meant to be tar, he ruled as being tummy, or the reverse. It's a done deal. You cannot overturn that verdict. Masha asa asoi. Not only that, he is responsible. He has to compensate the party that was wrong. Vishalami beisai. Clearly, you cannot undo a verdict once issued. And our Mishnah says you could. That's a kasha. Amar Rav Yosef lekasha. Let me give you an answer. Depends if he's an expert judge or not. If he's an expert, so you can say, look, I'm telling you, I made a mistake. We have to accept it. But if he's not an expert, he's not an experienced judge. Who says you're correct now? Maybe you were right the first time around. So you cannot undo what you did. As per the Mishnah over there in Bechorus. Kan b'mumcha. Our Mishnah is speaking about a mumcha who can undo his verdict. And Rashi says, the Baal Din can't say, well, I'm going to follow your earlier verdict. He's a mumcha. He has a koyach to say, no, I've just discovered the truth. Kan, but the other Mishnah, which seems to say it's a done deal, b'she'ein ha-mumcha, speaking about a non-mumcha. And Rashi explains, so the Baal Din can tell the judge, look, I'm not accepting your reversal. I'm going with the first pshat. Maybe that was right and this one was wrong. We don't ever know, right? So that's the answer. Mumcha can revert. Ein ha-mumcha cannot. If he's a mumcha, he can undo. We have another halacha in the second part of that Mishnah that we have quoted. If he was an expert, in that case, he doesn't have to pay for his mistake. But clearly, the verdict stands. Amar Rav Nachman, you're right. A mumcha is only one side of the story, but there's another condition required to justify reversal and cancellation of verdicts. When do we say reversal works? When there's another dayan that's greater than this dayan in terms of chachma, his wisdom, in terms of minyan, his years, his age, according to other mefarshim, his talmidim that are sitting around him, that are giving him that platform and that setting, the context to reach greater heights in Torah. So he's known to be greater, a notch higher. Then he can undo, he can correct the lower Dayan's verdict. Kan, whereas the Mishnah Bechiris, where he's stuck in his verdict, She'en gol heimenu b'chachma b'minyan, there's nobody greater than him to undo it. Okay, so we have one teretz on this kasha, because now Mishnah, we say you can undo a verdict by dinei mamonos, either way. L'schos l'chayva. Mishnah Bechiris seem to indicate we're stuck with our verdict. The answer is, if he's a mumcha, plus there's a higher authority above him dictating that reversal, then we accept his cancellation. Otherwise not. Rav Sheshes Amar, he has another teretz to explain when we undo, when we do not. Kan shetobet var Mishnah. It turns out that he erred. He made a mistake. about a halacha that's clearly dictated in the Mishnah. It's clear, black and white. That doesn't really count as a verdict. It's not a din. It's a non-starter. So that can be undone. As opposed to, if it was just a judgment error, then he cannot undo that. The Amar of Sheshes, Amar of Asi, Toa Bedvar Mishnah Chayzer, right? Toa, only Beshikul Adas, it's a done deal, Eini Chayzer. Now, Mishnah means actually in a Mishnah, or even a Gemara, even something which was just, dictated as a clear and acceptable halacha. Yeah, Amar Ravina Ravashi, Afilu Toa. Is it only if he erred regarding something dictated in a Mishnah? What about something dictated in a Braisa? For Pchia, Rabbi Eishah, who composed the Braises, the Teseftes, which Rashi says isn't so sort of reliable. It's not considered such a the same level as the Mishnayos, which was edited by Rebbe with the whole yeshiva, with the fact that he was a Nasi, he had everybody around him, and they were medactic, and they thoroughly edited and sifted through the information in the Mishnayos, which makes them ultra reliable. So what about the Braises? If he overlooked something there, is that called Tov B'Dvar Mishnah? So he says, yeah. Amalei in. Next question. Afilu B'Rav Shmuel. Even a halacha dictated by Rav Shmuel, from their own, they just, initiated a halacha, which wasn't sourced in a Mishnah or Braisa, and he overlooked that halacha. Amalei in. He says, yeah, that also qualifies. Afilu B'Didi V'Didach. What about something that we and you present? A halacha that we taught. Does that count as a Dvar Mishnah? Amalei, he says, sure. What do you think? We're just a little, nobodies? Omalei atu anan. Do you think we are katli, choppers of kani, of reeds, ba'agma anan, in the swamp? That's what we are? Meaning, whether it's a statement issued in a Mishnah, in a Braisa, even by the Amiraim, even by the later Amiraim, if he overlooks that, it's all in the same boat. It's called Torah Dvar Mishnah. He can undo, he could overturn his verdict. So then what is called Hechidami Shikul Adas? What is called Shikul Adas? Amar Papa Gantrei Tanoi. Something which isn't clear-cut. You have a discussion, a dispute amongst Sutanoim, Tuamiroim, the Pligi Adadi, right? The Machlekes. And there is no clear conclusion in terms of the Halach. We don't have no consensus in terms of the accepted halacha, whether it's like Kamar or Kamar, like this Shita, like that Shita. And this Dayan decided to adopt one opinion. V'ikri, turns out, V'avad kechad minah, he accepted, he adopted one opinion. But he really went against the going consensus. V'suga d'shmaita, and most of the chachamim, dayanim, go the other way. Azli ki'idach, adopted the opposing view. So that error is an error, hayna b'shikul adat, that's called a judgment error. And it's a done deal. I cannot undo that. So according to Rav Sheshes' approach to the Astira between the Mishnah and the Braisa, difference is whether it's Ta in an open Mishnah or a Braisa or a Gemara, it's a non-starter, you can undo that, versus something which was his personal judgment call. Esvi Rav Amnuna, he asked a question to Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes was the one who said, a mumcha, an expert, can undo a verdict. Masa b'parash al Beis Menachem, with a story involving a cow from Beis Menachem that was missing. She was missing her womb. She didn't know her aim, that's the womb shela. And the question was whether that qualifies as a treifa. Is that considered a serious internal wound, which makes her unfit for consumption? And according to Rabbi Tarfon, it's considered a treifa. And in fact, he went to the point that v'hechila, Rabbi Tarfon the Kalavim, he had the cow be fed to the dogs because of the iser, because of the fact that it was a treifa. That was his ruling. He considered a treif. And then it turns out that it was a mistake. Uba Masa, from the Chachamim, the story was presented to the other Chachamim, B'Yavne, in the great city of Yavne, where all the Chachamim were sitting, the Bezdin there, the Yeshiva, V'Yitiru, and they permitted the cow because they had first-hand testimony from an expert, a veterinarian, Tudus Harefe, Shamar Tudus Harefe. I'll tell you, Ein Para V'Chazir Yoitzis, in Alexandria, which was the center of civilization, they had really high quality cows and swine, and they didn't want their breed to be exported. So they removed its reproductive abilities. So it was a fact that Ein Parah V'Chazir Yoitzis, Alexander Shem Mitzrayim, none of these animals exported from this place would have its womb intact. Elam Kein Choytchin, Hayim Shel, they would remove it. Kadesh Shel Yitel, it shouldn't give birth. And clearly they all survived, they were fine. So clearly this procedure does not endanger the health of the animal, and it's not considered a treifa. And therefore, Reb Tarfon his ruling turned out to be a mistake. Omer Reb Tarfon, an exasperation. He expressed a sentiment about the fact that he'll have to pay for it, and it's going to cost him a lot of money to compensate the poor guy for causing him to lose his cow. Halcha chamar chatarfen. He's talking to himself, Reb Tarfon. My chamar. I've just lost my chamar. I'm going to have to sell my donkey to pay for this fellow's cow. That was his thinking. I'm responsible. I have to pay. Amar Reb Akiva. So Reb Akiva consoled him. No, don't, not to worry. Patarata. You're exempt from compensation. Because you're an expert. You're an expert. You don't have to pay for your mistakes. End of story. Now, what pertains to us is like this. Remember, Rav Sheshet says, if it's a Tov B'Dvar Mishnah, it's a non-starter. The verdict can be overturned. Which is exactly what happened here. So what's the issue? If it's true that a Tov B'Dvar Mishnah can be Chayzer, without issue, Leimelei, so Rav Kiva should be telling Rav Tarfon much more simply, Tov B'Dvar Mishnah Ata. This is a Tov B'Dvar Mishnah. Rashi brings the Mishnah in Eilat Treifas and Chulim. Nitlo Ha'em Shalok Shera. It's clear Mishnah. That it's okay. You can just undo what you did. You're not responsible. You don't have to compensate anybody. Answers the Gemara, you're right. Chadavayt Ka'omar. Rabbi Kiva was sort of giving him two separate reasons for non-concern. Number one, Chada, a basic reason, is because you're going against the Mishnah. Toi b'toi b'dvar Mishnah ato. And we know, v'toi b'dvar Mishnah, Chayzer, just undo your verdict. Void, additionally, even if Inami b'shikol adas to Isa, say it was a judgment error, which it wasn't, but let's say it was. Still, you have nothing to worry about because you are mumcha l'rabim ato. And a mumcha need not pay for his mistakes. Right? Part of his privilege, part of his perk that comes along with the job. V'chol mumcha l'rabim, potem l'sham. Okay, so that pretty much puts this matter to rest. We thought we had a kasha, which was resolved. But what was the kasha to begin with? Om Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzchak, l'rav. When Rav asked this question, he asked the question to Rav. I have to understand. I'm trying to figure out what was the question to begin with on Rav Sheshes from this mission. Maika Moisev, Rav Amnuna, what was Rav Amnuna's kashla Rav Sheshes from the story Mipara from the cow? Why would he be responsible? What do you mean? He fed it to the dogs. It's gone. It's over. He caused indirect harm. Para, hayre achila l'klovim. But less of the tahadar. He can't undo that verdict. It's gone. It's not around that would allow undoing and rectification. So what was Rav Amnuna's question? Sheshes allows him to be dvar mishnah. Sorry, a mumcha to be chayzer. A tov b'dvar mishnah to be chayzer. Let him be chayzer. There's nothing to be chayzer about. Par is gone. Answer is hachiku amrle. The question was like this: I amres b'shleim a tov b'dvar mishnah einay chayzer. If a mistake related to a mishnah does not justify an undoing of verdict, al makom dina. So pretty much the verdict is a legally standing verdict, right? If that's the case, that would explain, that would justify, that would put the story in context. That would explain why Rabbi Tarfon was concerned about losing this money, having to pay out for compensation. That explains Rabbi Tarfon's concern. And explains Rabbi Akiva's response to him. Don't worry, you're a recognized authority. About the potter ben shalom, and you need not pay for your mistakes. Eli amres tov b'dvar mishnah chayzer. But if a tos related to a mishnah allows for an easy reversal, why go through this whole back and forth? Lemele, Rabbi Kiva could simply tell him, look, I understand the parah was fed to the dogs, but that's not your issue. You didn't directly feed it to the dogs. All you did was issue a verdict. And the owner then went ahead and proceeded to feed it to the dog. That's not your issue. Kivon de'ilu have a para. Theoretically, if the para would still be around, would still be here. Dina chlav dina, v'loy klum. This your din is worthless, non-starter, because it opposes a Mishnah. In effect, making what you did nothing. As though you did nothing. V'lav klum avdis. So hashtanamis, even now, was fed to the dogs. That's not your issue. Lav klum avdis. So what was the problem? So that triggered our question. And we answer that you're right. He meant to reference both points. Dvar Mishnah is one reason for no worry, and the fact that he's a mumcha is an additional reason. Reb Chizdama, a third teretz, because in our Mishnah it says that by dinei mamonos you can undo verdicts, and the Mishnah Bukhari seems to say it's a done deal. We had one teretz, mumcha non-mumcha, another teretz, dvar Mishnah, Tabishikladas, Rav Chisda Amar third teretz. It depends how actively involved the judge was in carrying out that verdict, which makes it bona fide, entrenched, absorbed in facts on the ground, which cannot be undone. So it's more than just a verdict. It becomes sort of like damage that he causes. Rav Chisda Amar Kigon Shenoto V'Nosam B'Yad. Kan, the Mishnah Bechoris, that a verdict is a final thing is because the dayan actually, he took the money, he gave it to the other person, he transferred the, he got physically involved in carrying out that verdict. That's a masa, that's not just a judgment that can be undone. It's done, it's finished. Kan, shaloi notal v'nasan b'yad, as opposed to our Mishnah, speaking that he didn't do that. He just issued a verdict, a verbal or written verdict, and that was it. He didn't physically get involved in resolving the issue. He didn't transfer money from Reuven to Shimon, etc. So then it's merely a verdict which can be undone. Asks the Gemara, how does this practically work out? How could you have physical involvement in all these types of cases? So he did one of two mistakes. Either somebody who was Zakai, he made him Chayev. So then, yeah, Kigon Shenotal V'Nasan B'Yad. How did he get physically involved? Because the fellow who was really innocent, he forced him to pay. He took his money and gave it to his opponent. That's a physical involvement. El Azikas Achayev. But how does it work the other way? If a person is guilty and he made him Zakai, Heichem Ishkachasla, how can that involve physical involvement? Domele Paterat. The answer is, he absolved him. He said, you're Pater. And basically, that enabled him to hold on to his money. And Rashi says, that is considered kimishin nosan v'notam biyadami. It's as though the dying got physically involved, because due to his verdict, due to his issuance of that verdict, that you're potter, he was machzik, he empowered him, he authorized him to hold on to his money. So that came about through the dying's verdict, as though the dying actually gave him the money. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? I mean, he said paterata, but he didn't actually physically give him money. Well, it's synonymous. Kimisha amar, dama paterata. Once he tells him you're pater, it's as though, we view it as though he physically handed him the money. Kimisha nata v'nasam b'yadami. Okay. Ask Simar. Elamas isn't diktani. Dine mamnas. Okay, so let's go back and see if this fits with our Mishnah. We allow undoing of verdicts, because we're speaking that there's no physical involvement on account of the dying. So let's see if this works. Right? We recall the Mishnah says that you can undo dine mamnas verdicts one way or the other. Machzirim bein l'schus, bein l'chayva, whether it was chayva and he's switching it to schus, or chayva, l'schus, he's switching to chayva. Either way, you can switch ranks. So Bishlam, we understand l'schus, mishkachasla, that you can overturn it l'schus. That works, normally, because what happened was, the dayan told the party, Miyikara, initially he told him, Chayavato, you have to pay. But no, tal v'nasa miyadami, and he didn't actually physically take the money from him, it was just a verdict. And now he's undoing it, he says, no, don't pay, you're good, you're free. So we have an overturning of Chayavah to Schus without physical involvement. Elo l'chayavah hechem shkachasla. But going the other way, he turns Schus into Chayavah without physical involvement, how does that work? Normally, patur ato. If he initially told him, you're absolved, you're potter, is that limited involvement? No, we just said a minute ago, when you tell a person you're potter from paying, that's heavy involvement. For Amrit, you just told him to keep him the only potter. Once you tell the person you're potter, it's as though you gave him the money because you let him keep it. You render him the owner and the rightful owner of that money. Keep him the only potter. It's considered as though shenotov v'nasam b'yadam, as though he physically gave him the money. Answers the Gemara, you're right. You know what? Chado katani, we're misunderstanding the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not referring to reversing in both directions. Dine mamanas machzirin l'schus shechayva. The Mishnah says you can switch from chayva to schus. That's all it's speaking about. One reversal from chayva to schus. I said you're chayv, I didn't get involved. Then I said you're potter. I can undo that, even though by making you potter shechayva, which works to the detriment of your opponent. So it's really one case. The Mishnah is simply unwrapping both aspects of the same case. It's one story, which does not involve physical involvement on account of the dying. And that's why it can be reversed. Okay, now the Mishnah contrasts the ability to reverse dinei mamonos with the inability to reverse dinei nefashos. If it's going from good to bad, you can't do that. The kavasa. So, in comparison, gabei nefashos. When the Mishnah references dinei nefashos, machzirin l'schos, vei machzirin l'chayva, you can undo it to his benefit, but not to his detriment. We're assuming, if the Mishnah is going to be presenting parallel cases, so just like dinei mamonos, we said it's one single case, just sort of viewing it from different angles. Here as well, it's one case, just sort of referencing the case from different angles, that u'machzir l'schus, z'chus gerei dasa, that we could absolve him. If it's just a z'chus, it's limited to his benefit. Rashi says, for instance, it doesn't detriment anybody. It's at nobody's expense. There's no victim involved. The person was Mechal Shabbos. It's him himself and Hashem, right? So you can undo his guilty verdict and turn him innocent. Ve'en Machzir l'chayva means that we cannot overturn a guilty verdict and make him innocent. L'schus she'chayva, in a way that it comes at somebody else's expense. Right? So this will be in line with the first part of the statement, that by dinei mamonos, you can do that. You can overturn it, l'schus, even though it works against his opponent. As opposed to dinei nefashos, you can overturn a guilty verdict and make him innocent, provided it doesn't affect somebody else. L'schus she'chayva. Now, who can a person's verdict affect? I mean, chayvasi deman, the bezin cancels a death penalty verdict. Who is it affecting? Who is it hurting? I mean, it's all gain. There's no opponent there, right? Holikashi, what do you mean? Of course, chayvasi de goyel adam. Let's say he killed somebody. A family member who's looking to avenge his blood is called the goyel adam. And he's very distressed about the fact that there's no closure here. The guilty party is getting off the hook. So that's what the Mishnah means. We disregard that. We can overturn a guilty verdict and absolve him, even though it works against the Goyel Adam. Why would that be a factor at all? Why would I think? Sorry. The Mishnah says we cannot absolve him if it affects the Goyel Adam, if it comes at somebody's detriment, somebody's expense. Really? Why would that justify killing a person just because it's disturbing the Goyel Adam, Katlin Lelai, we're going to kill this person once we've discovered that he's innocent? So this pshat is the b'dahat to believe, b'dahat to accept. Void another kasha in the way you learned the Mishnah. That is just one case being described from different angles. That we're turning guilty into innocent, provided it only affects him, that doesn't affect somebody else. We're not speaking about overturning it from guilty to innocent, innocent to guilty. We're not talking about two different cases. That's not going to work by dinei mamonos. So we're speaking about one case, overturning guilty to innocent, provided it doesn't affect somebody else. But the question now is, my bane. Mishnah says you can overturn bane l'schus, bane l'chayva. Clearly, we're speaking about two different overturnings, two different cancellations of verdict. So it's not one case unwrapped and entangled. It's two different cases. One is overturning chayva to schus, one is schus l'chayva. Kashi, really, that's a bit difficult to understand based on the way we interpreted the Mishnah. Okay. Ravina Amar. Ravina is just going to make another small, just another point. Rav Chisda had answered that, the dying can overturn a judgment if he was not actively involved in actually transferring money and bringing about payments, whereas if he was Nasav and Asam B'yad, it's too late. And we had a question. Zika Sachayev. He absolved the guilty party. I mean, there's no physical involvement. He just absolved him. So why is that considered a done deal, which doesn't allow reversal? I'll tell you how. This supposed guilty party had a debt, right? And the other person, the plaintiff, had a mashkin, collateral. And when the dayan considered this person innocent, he took back the mashkin and returned it to the alleged rightful owner. But not totally memento. So here we have absolving by act. So that's been implemented in a very physical way, and you can't undo that. Regarding rulings issued about tamei v'tayer status of food, how do you have physical implementation, more than just a verbal declaration? I'll tell you how. The dayan decided to get physically, personally involved in carrying out his verdict. Tayer es ha-tamei. Timei es ha-tayer, something which was really meant to be tayer, and by mistake the dayan considered it tamei. And he actually interfered, and he implemented his ruling, the Agibe Sheretz, in order to prove his point, in order to remove any doubt that it's really Tommy, he took a Sheretz, right, a lizard or something, and he actually physically made contact with the Peres to prove his point. Or Tiras HaTami, how do you make something Tami? Tahir with an act? Shiyuvani Peresev. He ruled that the item is Tahir. And to prove his point, he took the fruit, which according to his view is Tahir, and he mixed it up amongst the other Peres belonging to this poor guy. Now he affected all his Peres. So there is an issuance of a verdict regarding Tumah V'Tahara that involves actual involvement and physical interference. Dina Nefashis. Okay, let's proceed. The Mishnah speaks about the fact that when it comes to Dina Nefashis, capital matters, we allow ourselves to undo a verdict, whether L'Schus, only L'Schus, if it helps him, but not L'Chayva. So once he won the case, we don't undo it. Tana Rabbanon, how do I know this? So what about a fellow who leaves the Bezn as a guilty party? Okay, so Chayev Misa. And one of the members of the Bezn, or one of the Talmidim, jumps up and says, actually, I want to defend him. How do we know that we bring him back to the Bezn and rehash the case? The pasuk says, "V'naki v'tzadik al tarik." Don't kill an innocent person or a tzadik. So v'naki is going on this, which means to say that even though he was really considered guilty in the bezin, right? So he was chayiv and din. But if it can be proven that he's naki, which means he's clean of that sin, if that can be proven now, you are obligated to reconsider the whole story. On the other hand, how do we know that if a person left the Bezin, a free man, and somebody comes up and says, 1 second, I'm going to prove him guilty. In this case, we do not reopen the file. So even though he's not really a Naki, perhaps he did the Aver, but if he's a Tzadik, which means to say, Nitzadik Bedin, says Rashi, he won the case, that's it, we don't kill him. We have one exception to the rule, that's a Mesis. One who draws people to do Aveira, to Avei Dezara. So this fellow, we have no compassion on him. And it goes the other way around. We can undo to find him guilty. We cannot undo to find him innocent. Allah have no compassion on him. Rav Kana Masti, Bechi Harag Targenu, he has a different source. Harag Targenu, a duplicate Lashon, we kill him in all cases. So we know that by Dine Mominus, we allow ourselves to undo a verdict either way. By Dine Nefashis, aside from the Mesis, only to help him and not to turn innocent into guilty. What about one who killed inadvertently, B'shegig, which requires him to go to Golos, to go into exile? What about a person's Chayiv Malkus? What status do they have in terms of overturning their verdict? Do we do it L'chayva or l'schus, do we compare it to Dine Mamnus? Or no, compare it to Dine Nefashis. It's only a one-way system, only to his benefit. Chayvi Golius, Asi Ritzeach Ritzeach, yeah. We have a Gzera Shavet, it says Ritzeach by Golus, Ritzeach by Misa. We compare the two cases, and it has the same guidelines. Only l'schus and not l'chayva. Chayvi Malkius, same thing, Asi Rasha Rasha, Rasha Rasha. We have the word Rasha by Malkus, the Rasha by the Ritzeach. And we only overturn a verdict if it helps him. Tanam Yehachu, we find the same in a Braisa. Chayav Galus Minayin, how do we know Golus? Asir Ritzeach Ritzeach, through the Gzera Shava Ritzeach Ritzeach. Chayav Malkus Minayin, what about there? Asir Rosh Rosh. So bottom line, by Dine Mamnus, we undo a verdict, whether it helps him or not. Dine Nefashis, and by extension, Golus and Malkus, we only undo if it helps him, but not in the reverse, as opposed to Mesis, where only to his detriment and not to his benefit. Vein Machzirun L'chayva. So even though we've discovered some new factors which would point to his guilt, we don't undo a verdict if it's Dine Nefashis. But it's still a limited. Not in all cases. You know, it can't be a clear pasuk that we overlooked. So if it's a davar she'enat stukim moidim boy, stukim are those who rejected the rabbinic interpretation of the Torah, the Shebal Peh. They stuck with the written law, not the oral law. But if it's a pasuk that even the Yitzdukim would admit to, then, you know what, it's not much of a verdict if you're going against the parsha, against the Torah. That's a clear pasuk. So only if it's a toast related to something which the Yitzdukim would not agree with, which means to say it's a more advanced, more complicated, less clear thing, then once the verdict was issued, lezachus, you can't undo that because it has the status of a psak. If the mistake turns out to be something which is so clearly, plainly evident and so obvious that even the Tzukim would agree to, zil, go, curry, go read. Beiravu in the yeshiva, it constitutes a blatant, flagrant mistake, an obvious toes, in which case the verdict is a non-starter. I have a question. What about a mistake involving, you know, marital relations, and the dayanim, you know, issued a lenient verdict? Toa b'noyef, the person who perpetuated the sin, b'noyef as the isha, who perpetuated the sin, and maho, what's the status there if he made a mistake and he absolved one of these parties by misunderstanding the halacha and the psukim? What's the status there? Can that be undone? Amalei, so he responded, no, because this is a clear, plain halacha, it's psukim, there's nothing to talk about. Amalei adam hegdach, he employed a quotable quote, a common phrase, adam hegdach, as long as your barbecue, your fire is still burning, adam hegdach yakid, right? As long as your fire is still burning, chaparayin, seize the moment, zil go kites, chop off karcha your pumpkin vitzli and roast it. Meaning, while we're on the topic, while, you know, I've just given you sort of guidelines, expand it and apply it to this case as well. It's an obvious mistake, which is a non-starter. It's Renami, Amrab Ami, Amrab Yechna, Tobanaif Chayzer, you can undo that type of mistake. Elechi Domi and Chayzer. I'll give you an example involving Znus, which does not allow reversal. Halacha, which is more intricate. The Dayan mistakenly figured that being involved physically with a woman in the irregular way, from behind, is not considered a sin, and that's obviously a mistake, but it's based on Psukim, Drasha, which is not something that Stukim would accept, and therefore it has somewhat a status of a ruling because it's not a clear, it's not going against a clear halacha, a clear pasuk. In which case, the ruling would stand, and this person is off the hook. Okay, so he's been absolved, and that ruling would stand. Dinei mamonos. When it comes to dinei mamonos, anybody can offer their 2 cents. What does that mean? Dinei mamonos hakoyel v'chul hakoyel v'afilu edim. Even the witnesses involved in this case, right? They're very much involved parties. They testified in the case. Can they give Melamed Zchus and defend him and attempt to present arguments to defend this litigant? Name him Asnisen, Rabbi Yisrael B'Yudu, he flew Rabban. Apparently, our mission is following Rabbi Yisrael B'Yudu, not the Rabban. That Edom can never be involved. So an Ed cannot be involved. Bein Zchus, Bein Chayv, whether he's trying to defend or go against the litigant. Rabbi Yisrael B'Yudu, Aymer, Oin Lo Zchus, Vein Oin Lo Chayv. He can voice his opinion if he's defending the party being judged, but not to his detriment. Right? As the pasuk says, you can't be oyna lenefesh lamas, right? Not to his detriment. But if you're defending him, that's different. Okay, so our Mishnah, which indicates to us that anybody, and anybody perhaps includes the Edom as well, can be Malamid Sechus, is going only like Rabbi Yisrael B'Yudah. Because the Rabbanim say that Edom can never be involved. They're Edom, that's it. They're not going to be involved in the actual process. Amar Papa, no, the Mishnah is not speaking about Edom. Be'echad min Talmidim. It's referring to the Talmidim, you know, in the Bezn, they had sort of, you know, interns sitting there and learning and observing and, you know, Dayanim in training. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. So it's going like all shittas, that a Talmud can have his input, can contribute to the process, by dinei mamonos either way, and by dinei nefashos only l'schus, not l'chayv. So that's more in my time, why is Rabbi Yehuda saying that an aide can be involved in Mimla Metzchus. I mean, the Pasuk seems to say that an aide can never be involved in the actual deliberation process. My time, the Rabbi said, read the Makra. Look at the Pasuk. He can't contribute to the detriment of the litigate. Lamus, who the aide can't be involved in that. But he has something good to say, he could. For Rabbanon, okay, so what did Rabbanon hold? Omer Shlokesh, Mishnah, can I give you to say? It looks like he has an interest. He has a vested interest in trying to rectify what he did. He's feeling guilty that he offered false testimony. So he's trying to undo that by coming to the defense of this litigant. So we don't allow that. The Mirsi looks like Kenegebe Duse, like he has an interest in what he's saying. He has to gain from his testimony. He's not an impartial witness. Asks the Gemara, Rabbanon, now, we had a pasuk, right? It says, only Lamus, right? Rabbanon, hi Lamus, my daughter, according to Rabbanon, who say that an aide can never be involved, even to help the litigant. What about the pasuk, which indicates that it's only a problem if he's Lamus, if he's coming to present a guilty argument? They apply it not to the aide, who is disqualified regardless. Rather, it's going on the Talmidim, who are only enabled, who could only offer the 2 cents if it's l'schus. So if the aidim propose a limud schus, how do we know that we don't accept them? An aid cannot express his input. What about one in Talmidim who offered chayva? How do we know that we don't accept it? We only accept schus from the Talmud, not the chayva. Talmloimar echad. So we sort of split the pasuk into two. The second part of the pasuk starts with the word echad. Echad layana benefesh lamus. Echad means the Talmud cannot respond lamus to hurt the party being judged, but he's coming to defend him. We accept it. Okay. So in summary, we learned about the Mishnah, which tells us you can undo Dine Mamnus, versus the Mishnah over there in Becheres, which seems to say you can't. 3 Terutzim. Mumcha, Eine Mumcha. Toa B'Shikol Adas versus Toa B'Dvar Mishnah. Just a mistake, a verdict, versus a dying who got physically involved. That cannot be undone, because it's been implemented, it's been carried out, it's a done deal. V'Dine Nefashas, and likewise Golas and Malkus, will overturn a verdict if it helps him, but not the other way. By Dine Mamnus, it goes both ways. By Maces, only if it hurts him, but not the other way. But as the Gemara says, that's limited to something which has a status of a ruling, something which is not an open, obvious pasuk, because otherwise it's a non-starter, it could be undone regardless. By Dine Mamnus, anybody can contribute. Who's the everybody? According to the basic reader, the Eidim. Lizachos, according to the Rabban, only a Talmud can contribute b'milam b'tzchus and not choyva by dinim nefashis versus by dinim amenis. Whatever he has to say, we accept any input. All the best to you and atzlach rab.